Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
26 rounds of footy. One winner. One chance at immortality. For McDonald's, Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Welcome back to it. Sunday Triple M NRL. If you've missed anything so far, get the Triple M NRL app and you can have a listen to the catch-up podcast of the last hour on the show, which was some pretty big guests on there. Coming up at 2 o'clock today, we'll keep you up to date with that game in Mudgee between the Dragons and Newcastle. And 4 o'clock, Dan will call the Sharks Manly game for you live across the Triple M network. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon here. Time to talk about the Panthers, who are down last, equal last on the competition ladder, but on percentages they are dead last. They've won two, they've lost eight, they've lost their last six straight, the Panthers. So we had our very own Ryan Girdler, a former Panthers great on Saturday NRL, who had this to say, but he had this to say during a call with Dan Ganane. Have a listen.
I haven't seen the club in this sort of shape in, well, as long as I've been involved in it.
And there's been some dark years.
And there's been some really tough times, and I was in a... I was out there when we got the wooden spoon in 2001. But, Dan, this is the thing. We had a roster
that deserved to win a wooden spoon.
That was kind of thereabouts. Like, yeah. I was saying on air the other day, like, I played there for 13 or 14 years. We made the finals three times.
Yeah.
And we had a side that legitimately could win the comp twice. And we won it once and we came third the time after. The rest of the time, if we made the finals, it was a bonus. I mean, because that's what our roster represented. We're a struggling club that went through all different things after the 91 grand final. How we got back to here, I have no idea.
All right, well, that's on the back of what has just been an absolutely disastrous season for the Panthers. Teams are scoring at a big, putting big scores on them. They don't look like they know how to score. We saw footage of them in the dressing room after the Warriors game. Paul, I honestly don't know where they might go from here.
I don't think they know, Anthony. Look, Ivan, the fact that there was no kickback on the weekend after the previous week is a real concern. That shows that they are without answers, that they are, that the morale is quite low. There's all sorts of rumblings, as always happens whenever clubs begin to struggle like this. All sorts of rumblings are coming out of the club. Now, the difficulty, I don't know what is true and what's not true. Generally, most of them turn out to be true. The club will be in denial for a short period, but there's now starting to come rumblings about people not getting on, dramas with this guy and that guy. Until I sort of can cement more of it down, I'm loath to specify, but there certainly is some problems there. The fact that there was no even obvious improvement in effort the other night, that's the big concern. That's when you start to know that the problem is more than just guys are out of form. There's an unhappiness now at the Panthers. I think that showed that the other night. And until they get a resounding sort of win, it's going to continue.
The worry is they look – Ivan looks bereft of ideas. That press conference after Friday night, six straight losses, he looks lost. He swung the axe. He sacked Regan Campbell-Gillard, Josh Mansour, two Test and New South Wales State of Origin players.
I didn't think that was
and
a,
also the young hooker, Wade Egan, right? Yeah. But he just looks like, in his long coaching career where he's made grand finals, he's made final series, he's had a fair degree of success, he looks lost.
And he's got a demeanour of a cardboard cutout. You know what I mean? Like, he's a guy that, and that's no disrespect, but it's a guy that sits there and, you know, like, I think if he's playing poker, you would never know what cards he's holding because he's just got the same monotone. And then last week he goes, I've got more questions than answers. And I thought, that's a good throwaway line. But
I thought that was honest.
Yeah, but now, you know what I mean? I thought he's just, listen, guys, go away, mate. We're just going to get back about our work and make it about myself, as all the blokes do. And the effort that they put in, and not that the Warriors come out, mate, they weren't playing a top four side. They were playing the Warriors that gave them opportunities. And yet the Warriors made eight line breaks and did whatever they did. But the Warriors were there to be beaten.
Yeah, they made schoolboy mistakes, Penrith.
Oh.
The fullback and the winger running into each other, that was almost comical. A lot of the
but
drop
is that
balls,
because they're trying a bit too hard? You mean, so sometimes
I don't think that. No, I don't. That's not trying. That's just communication.
The other one that really stood out for me was the try from Ignatius Parsi Gordon from 10 metres out where
terrible.
There was four of them all over him and two of them virtually just watched him.
That's a try.
Through the defence.
That try.
And score a try that should never have been scored.
It should never be scored in the NRL.
No,
that
ever.
Try. That's like you're watching under-16s football where the big kid just barrels through. Yeah, the big fat kid barrels through everybody. The fact that the Panthers were unable to pull him down with the amount of men they had around him and that he could go on. And I know your whole argument about, and they wax lyrical in the coverage. Oh, what a great try, great. It wasn't really. It was terribly poor defence.
It's a very soft try. And if it happens to you, it's alarming. If you've got a guy 10 metres out, no one's prepared to hit him. And that's what I go on because I reckon you're born like, mate, you work hard for all your skills in the game and you're born with some athletic ability like a Greg Inglis and that. But the attitude you pack, and the reason why I harp on it, is because players are getting away with it and putting your body on the line. And if you're a Penrith supporter, watch how many jerseys you get in the picture. Then you know whether your team's really having a crack or not. And that's the difference between Brisbane on Friday night and Brisbane in the past. They got more Broncos jerseys in the picture than the Roosters. That means that they're all turning up. They're working really hard. Things will turn around and Penrith aren't doing it. And that's just the basic. And because the coaches aren't asking you to do it, let me tell you something, players. Coaches all say the same thing. I've had Brian Smith, which everybody bags. I've had Wayne Bennett. They're polar opposites. But what they – mate, the game plans they gave to me, I forgot after 10 minutes. Mm. Me.
The advice is often the same at halftime too.
But the effort you put in, the effort you bring, the mate beside you that you don't want to let down, that's what you have to give, and they're not giving it.
But, Paul, I got to get back to what you were saying before about the playing group, not playing for each other, not trying on the day, suggests that there might be a problem within the playing group.
It looks like there is. It looks like they don't. Well, talk to each other.
What would the problem be?
It could be anything, Anthony. I don't know what it is. I haven't investigated it enough to know, but there is clearly unhappiness. I know this much. I know that there's an unhappiness in the group. Now, whether that's personality clashes, whether that's it could be anything. Whether there's one player in the team doesn't like another, and the team's divided itself along lines of who they support in the argument. It could be anything. There's talk around about drama at the coaching level.
When they sacked Anthony Griffin and went and signed Ivan Cleary, the talk was that, right, now we're a top four side, we're a chance of winning the premiership, everything's sweet, and we've finally got the coach who can take us to the promised land. The way they're playing at the moment, they're going to be flat out avoiding the wooden spoon. And that Ignatius Parsi try to me on Friday night, that summed up their season. They missed 41 tackles against the Warriors, and they made 14 errors. Gordon,
we're going to let the players off the hook, right? Oh, okay, so we get another voice in. Mate, so let's just bring another voice in that's going to say the same thing. Boys, we need effort. We need you to do this. It might be a little bit different, but yet they start having a go.
All right, but what's going on in the boxing here, Paul, that you wanted to...
Deontay Wilder just iced Brazil. So, the heavyweight champion just... First round knockout.
Just
poleaxed.
My sons love that, Dante. That's what they wanted to name.
Dante, he's one of the characters.
My sons wanted to name our new boy. If we have
Deontay.
A boy. Yeah, Deontay.
Gee, I'm glad you didn't. Deontay Tallis.
Yeah, mate, but like, you know what?
Deontay Tallis.
Yeah, mate, but you know when you've got to entertain it and you go,
It's on the list.
Yep. Hey, Dad, what are you thinking? I'm going, yeah.
You could have gone.
Mum might have something to say about that.
Middle name, Gordy. You could have gone Billy Dion.
Mate, listen, mate, I'm simple. Okay. I got Ethan Jack.
Now, guys, Jack Ethan. Getting back to Penrith now, Billy. Hooch. Getting back to Penrith, the fact that they're on the bottom of the table, they don't like, they look like they're going to get off it. They've lost six in a row. They're supposed to finish in the top four. They've got the new coach. They've got Gussie gone. They've got the off-field drama. Now, Paul Kent just says maybe the drama is at coaching level. Have you heard anything about this? So the coaches are obviously Ivan. Cameron Seraldo is the assistant coach. I know teams have like an absolute team of coaches themselves now. Have you heard anything to suggest that?
No, I haven't. From an outside point of view looking in, as I touched on a minute ago, Anthony, Ivan at that press conference Friday night looked defeated. He looked bereft of ideas and he looked lost. I'm not sure that he's got the answers, as he alluded to the week earlier when he said, I've got more questions than answers as well. Gordon mentioned, we thought that it was just a throwaway line. I actually think he was being straight up and down.
But,
and he's trying to spark something out of his players, but you keep going back to it. I've heard you blokes say that.
Well, they're trying to defense, shop James, but
defense
James
is an attitude,
around.
Gordon. Defense is an attitude, yep. Right? Like, you hear so many people say it over the years.
It is an attitude.
But, well, they're not on Friday night. They didn't have any attitude.
And that's what you got to pack. Mate, if you need someone to come and motivate you to play the game of rugby league.
If they're not getting on with each other, that's very difficult. The big thing out of this is how patient the Penrith administration is now going to be.
Well, hang on. But then if you saying that, Paul, is suggesting that they're going to have to make more changes.
But, well,
I mean, how much can Penrith supporters endure?
How many losses can they endure?
Well, how much, from it, apart than any other club, how much can a Penrith supporter endure? They get a coach gets sacked every 18 months. Now the CEO or the head of football's gone.
Who is very close to the assistant coach, remember?
Yep. To Cameron.
The Cameron Seraldo. Yeah.
So, I mean, if I'm a Panthers supporter, I'm saying, how much am I expect to go through? This was going to be the answer.
Well, maybe they can make that be heard through the boardroom elections.
Maybe
who knows?
They might want to say something here. 133353.
Dare I say it? And I think his son needs a bit of time down in reserve grade to get his confidence back. But you can't do it. And that was the big problem when I said it. And I said it.
Why can't you do it, Gordon? If that's what needs to happen, why can't you do it? Because they've got a kid called Jerome Luai there, who's going to be a
because Nathan Cleary and Ivan are under so much pressure now. And that's what Ivan put his son under.
Well, that's the franchise. That's what they've put all the investment in. The halfback and
but
the coach.
But you know what? Ivan should never, like me, Ivan's the adult. He should never have gone there. He was coaching. He was getting money. He didn't need to coach. He could coach his son at home. Right, my son's going to play sport. I can coach him. Mate, you can coach him at home. You can give him pointers. You can give him tips. Matty Johns coaches halves. Kevy's helping halves. They all go help halves without sitting there in the coach's box, you know. And there's been so many players, Kenty, that have been helped by so many ex-players and old coaches in the past. Right, he doesn't need it. And I watched Wayne Bennett do it with Ben Hunt. And yet he's come back and sometimes just going away, playing in park footy, finding the love for the game again, like just going back. Stripping it all back, going what?
It's a delicate issue, though. It's a delicate issue because his confidence is really affected at the moment.
Absolutely,
he's not just playing well; his confidence is affected, and you have the potential to damage it even further by saying, "Mate, you're going to go back and play park football."
And are they seriously trying to get rid of their best player and James Maloney?
The plan was always, yes, you are. Yeah, you're right, Gordon. The plan was always with Jimmy Maloney. They signed him on a 3-year deal, but the plan was always that in the third year, when I believe he's turning 35 next season, in the third year, they're always going to try and move him to England. So they are still going down that road, and then that will give them a little bit of wiggle room in terms of their salary
cap. And is it
cap,
true that they don't want him to go to another NRL club?
I hadn't heard play,
that. I've heard that, yes.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah, I mean, like, it's a rumour out there that they're really happy for him to go and play in England, but they don't actually want to push him on to another NRL club and have him come and play against them.
Here we go, boys. 133353. The Panthers support. As they say on the AM stations, we've got an absolute board of calls here. The switchboard's lit up. Penrith supporters wanting to have their say. Tony's in Claremont Meadows on 133353. Tony, what did you want to say about Penrith?
Mate, I love listening to you guys and Gordy, your top mate. And at some point, I agree that you cannot keep blaming the coaches. At some point, the players have to take accountability for their position and claim. We've got a really good roster. We've had that same roster last year, and when you look at the difference between the two teams, it's just unbelievable. We should be able to play football regardless of whether we've got Griffin or Ivan Cleary there. I just think there's probably more to it, more administration. I don't know whether the Gus Gould thing's had a lot to play with it or whether Maloney, there's a lot of problems there with him too. There's just a whole heap of things going on with Penrith at the moment, and it doesn't look good for the Penrith community. It does not look good. They actually got booed off on Friday night. So,
and that's significant.
Maybe we have to drop more players to park football and bring up our juniors. We've got great talent.
You're right, Tony. You raised some very good points. And in the history of the club, Penrith has always been a development club. Whenever you've had success, whenever you've won premierships, it's always been on the back of having a great crop of local juniors and then bringing in the right players around them. But I think one of the issues that Tony's raised there is the fact that Nathan Cleary is now out of form and Ivan Cleary is the head coach. And they've got this situation where you got a father and son, and then the rest of the club surrounding them as well. It's a unique position to be in, and it's a hard one.
All right. Good call, Tone. Thank you very much. Speaking on behalf of the Penrith community there. 133353. I think we do we have another one there? We have another call there. Anonymous caller. Is that one okay? Are you there, Anonymous? The platform is yours, mate. What did you want to say about the Panthers, Anonymous?
Yeah, hi. I'm actually a Penrith Panthers supporter, and yes, I agree. There is problems within the camp, and I think Ivan needs to get them back together, even if it means taking them away from training for a couple of days and taking them away just for them to all gel together again. You know, like, it's just, it's really... You know, it's really sad that, you know, you go to every game and you're watching and we're getting beaten, but something needs to be done. Ivan needs to bring them back together.
But it's the old thing, Kenty, like we used to say with Chris Anderson, just get the boys together for a beer.
Yeah, that was one of the great stories in 95 when the Bulldogs during the Super League war were torn apart by four of the biggest players signing elsewhere with ARL while the club went to Super League. And in the end, they realised they had to win a comp together. So Anderson said, right, from now on, every Monday, I think it was the Chester Hill Tavern they had to get down to, every Monday we come down, you've got to stay, have lunch, have a beer. And the one rule was you weren't allowed to talk about football because it was dominating and it polarised so many people. So, and they got the club back together on the basis of that. Now, that's a little bit old school, but Canterbury, Penrith are a side that, there's issues there that haven't come out at the moment. I don't know exactly what the issues are. You're hearing rumours and innuendo.
Are you talking player related?
I hear that there's factions, is probably the way.
Amongst the playing group.
Coalition.
And the fact that, I think the fact, look, I'll just say. Look,
he's a shaggy man,
Say it, Paul. Go on.
I'm just going to say, I think there's also... a breakdown in the relationship since school went between Seraldo and Cleary.
All right, so we've got a problem at coaching level. We've got factions within the NRL side itself, 133353. Let's take another call from the Penrith community. They're blowing up. What did you want to say, John?
Yeah, look, you can't blame the coach. It's the players. I think they're getting paid too much. And they're the ones out in the field. They're the ones that have got to play the game. So really, we've got to tell what the caller before. And really, they've got to do something about themselves. So really, get away from the game, get away from the where they train, go somewhere else and gel together.
All right.
And,
Good on you, John.
I think John's right in some ways, but it's also, look, the coach, the fact is you can't say it's not the coach, it's the players, because it's the coach's job to get the players right. That's the first thing. The players aren't on too much money. The players are on other players that other clubs are on the same money, and they're performing. The problem is that the players have got to start taking some accountability. But ultimately, it's much easier to replace a coach than it is a player, which has been the problem at Penrith for some time.
I've been in the same position, and I don't want to bring it back to me, but I think in 97 we won the comp, 98, 99. Alan Langer, I think, retired in round five or something. Stephen Uford left. And we'd lost a few players.
Eight straight or six straight?
I think we'd won. We'd won 1 out of 10 and drawn a game against the Cowboys. I think we beat South and had a 20-all draw against the Cowboys. And that year, we did. Like, we went, like, mate, come to train and Wayne and break it up. We'd go play skirmish and shoot. Then we'd, you know, go to a pub and, you know, just relax, mate. There was a golf day. There was stuff. And then we'd come and play games at training. Maybe we'd get flogged at training. We did boxing training. We did so many things. But we couldn't find the answers. And it was... you know, some very experienced players there in the past. But once we did click, we end up becoming, and I think, I don't know whether it's still in history, I think we're the worst Bronco side and the best in the same year. So we got the worst winning record of any side, and then we won, I think, 11 or 12. Run. Yeah, like, you know, so you can turn it around. To us, we were looking for answers. And I don't know where we found them, but it was hard work, mate. Hard work was one of them. Getting away, not reading it, just, put your scrapbooks down. Don't read anything because it just ends up keeping you down, damn it.
Okay, that's the end of the Penrith discussion unless we learn any more.
Geez, there was a lot up on the hoist when we put it up there. There was a fair bit of oil.
Fair bit of oil
leaking out of that there. Old beauty, eh?
But we'll no doubt put it up on the hoist again next Sunday, the Penrith Panthers. This is Sunday Triple M NRL. Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James the Human Tricep Hooper, and Maroon. We're going to take a break and come back with the award-winning segment. They've tried to have it barred, but the Triple M solicitors said, keep going till we tell you otherwise. I call... P.S. as Triple M rocks the footy.
For Ream Hot Water. Triple M footy. Triple M footy. Let's go! For Ream Hot Water.
Yeah, welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL right across the Triple M network and, of course, via the app at Triple M underscore NRL if you want to message us at any time. Gordon, Tallis, Paul, Kent, James, Triceps, Hooper. My name is Maroon. Origin is just around the corner. We've bumped I Call BS just for now because you've got to do that when you've got rugby league royalty on the phone. The great Freddie Fittler. Welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL, my good friend Brad Fittler.
Good afternoon, gents.
Most importantly, Freddie, before we get to the football, mate, how are you going as a barista? How's your coffee making going? Is it improving? I'm getting mixed reports.
Well, I drink long blacks, so long blacks are quite easy to make, and I just stick to them at the moment. So I'm just perfecting what I know.
Where is the actual coffee outlet at, Freddie?
Down at Warriewood, mate, not far from where we live, over the northern beaches. I've got to say, small business, hard work.
Yeah.
I don't work there. I eat there. But Jesus, I commend all those out there ripping into a small business. Good on you.
You're taking on Ryan Girdler, eh?
Yeah, Gerds is actually two suburbs up. He's cleaning up the whole northern beaches, Gerds. he's just ruling the northern beaches supreme with his organic stuff.
Hey, Freddie, you know when, obviously Origin's your priority, but, mate, your old club and your first club, Penrith, is a bit sad what's happening out there at the moment.
Yeah, it is, Gordy. I think you go back to last year and Anthony Griffin was moved on, and then the way the new coach came to the club and the innuendo about players and staff, and you can really see that no one's working together. And when you look at the footy team, they look like they're not working together. So, to Jack Gibson, and you get your club and your team, you know, what's the saying? If you've got the
front office in order,
winning starts in the front office.
If you've got that in order, everything else just follows. So, I think Penrith need to just get everything sorted, calm down, and start working together.
Well, speaking of things getting sorted, Freddie, how close are you now? I know you don't like to say anything until after everybody gets through the last round healthy, but if you picked the side tonight, if you had to pick the side tonight, would you be comfortable that you've got 17 sorted, or is there still some up for grabs?
Yeah, there's still a couple there, Kenny. This bloke, obviously, we've got Tommy was injured, and then a few blokes' form has seen them put into the second division, Canterbury Cup and the Queensland Cup. So... There's a few things to talk about, and obviously Jack DeBellin's not playing at the moment either. So, but I feel like our main players and our senior players are in really good nick, and I feel like we can come up with a team that can win.
Well, obviously, the follow-up to that question is when your main players, your half and your 5/8, are you settled there?
No, actually, I wouldn't say settled. But when I talk to Danny and Brandy, we're all on the same page, and we're all pretty confident the way we're thinking at the moment. But like you said, we've still got a week to go, and not only injury, performances are still very important to us at the moment. And if we go to last year, it came down to the last game where we made sure to come up with three players in the last week, so... Not that that's the case this year, but what it did do, I reckon it just taught us a bit of a lesson that, patience can be key in these situations.
Hey, Freddie, how hard is it to pick the right combination, to pick the hard team? I saw Laurie Daly saying that's your biggest challenge this year and the coaching is the second part of it. Is it hard for you this year to pick a side that you think's going to win?
Yeah, I heard you just talking about Penrith and the coach, and obviously the coach plays a big role. Origin's a little bit different again. to club football, and you know, obviously club football coach is a very, very demanding job, but picking the right team, Gordy, is everything.
Yep.
You know, you pick the right team and your job's made so much easier. And, you know, obviously there's some organisation and getting all that right, and you got to be mindful and be aware of whether it's behaviour or different things that can happen in a camp, but you pick the right players and, you know, you're 80% there.
When do you know you've got the right team, Freddie?
Well, just before just as I got the job, went down and saw Craig Bellamy. I was at Brett Finch's wedding and I sort of cornered Craig Bellamy for as long as I could before he called security on me. And, you know, the thing I got out of that conversation, he said, you know, you just got to follow your guts. And it's something I try to do in life and try to do in a lot of different situations. And that's what I'm doing at the moment, is just being patient. And your guts normally tells you what's right. If you give it long enough, it'll tell you. So that's what I do.
Freddie, you touched on the fact that last season you actually utilised right up until that final round to select the side. Just take us back. I'm pretty sure you actually had Ryan James, didn't you, in the 17, or certainly in the extended squad. And then David Clemmer came out and ripped the door off the hinges against the Tigers, I think it was, and virtually forced his way into the side. Is that right?
Yeah, that was the case. It was the Penrith St George game as well, where I went out and watched that. And I think Penrith got them to the lead of the competition. And then David Clemmer, yeah, we had so many rookies in the team, and we're sort of dying for especially a front row or someone to jump out and, you know, and just sort of grab the jumper. And it was actually Clemmer on that last game. So the patience was the winner there for sure.
And just on rookies, you must be excited with some of these next generation blokes that are available and coming through, the Cameron Murrays and the Victor Radleys. Do you think we'll see one of those blokes or possibly both there, or?
Well, it's hard to pick both of them. They're both sort of nearly vying for the same position. I think you saw Victor the other night play 80 minutes, make 50 tackles in hooker, which he's not a hooker. You know, in one of the toughest games of the year, he's an incredible competitor, Victor. And, you know, it's only a matter of time when the team allows for him to be there, he'll be there, because his attitude is unbelievable. Cam Murray's, he's just so effective at the moment. He's play the balls and his defence, and he's a really special kid. He's 20 years old, and Payne Haas, Bronson Zeri, they're all kids that I've coached all these blokes as well before, which is makes me feel a bit more at ease. So I sort of know what sort of people they are, and I think all the ones we just mentioned then are just they're real good quality characters. So it's only a matter of time before they all start playing for New South Wales, I think.
Yeah, just talking about character, there was a couple of guys, you know, like a few years ago in Dugan and Ferguson, you know, they got their, you know, but you're never going to play again. The way Ferguson is playing, and it looks like that he's turned himself around, and the season he had at the Roosters, it looked like that he's finally matured off the field. Is he a chance?
Yeah, he is, Gordy. Characters, everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people change, and, you know, people get better, and people also, you know, lose motivation, and, you know, their footy isn't their priority anymore as well. So the big thing is we just try to take everything in consideration, and without a doubt, what Fergo and Dukes did the year before at New South Wales came into consideration. But then also, like you said, his season last year for the Roosters comes into consideration. Like his season this year, which is periods of brilliance, and then he had an injury to his rib and he got a broken nose, and, you know, his couple of weeks after that have been okay. Measuring not his best, so he's still got another week as well. And, you know, he's also up against a kid off coach as well in Nick Kotrick. So that's going to be a huge decision for us. And we're mostly not settled on that one either, but it's good we've got another week to go.
Freddie, what did you make of Wayne Bennett's comments after the game last night?
Yeah, I love Wayne. I think Wayne's in the best form of his career, I think. The thing I noticed is he sat there with his South Sydney jacket on, and I applaud Wayne nearly more than anyone, that when he's coaching or he's involved in your team or club, that his entire energy and focus is there. And I have no doubt he's just in total support of his halves, and his halves are going absolutely brilliant. The fact is that his hooker is also most, you know, he's 99%, as long as he gets through fit, going to be our hooker. So he's obviously speaking a lot of sense. But I can't take that much advice as gospel when Wayne's trying to help New South Wales beat Queensland. So
I've got to weigh it all up
that, which I just love. I think he's in great form, Wayne. I think when he's like this and he's a bit jovial and he's trying to direct people's attention, I think he's at his best. So he's using all his experience at the moment.
I just think that's what he's trying to do, because he thinks he's got a premiership side, and if those two guys make it, if those three guys make it, it might be the confidence that they need at the end of the year.
100%.
Yeah.
And also he's sort of weighing in on, you know, if we pick Nathan Cleary, then if Nathan hears all those comments, you know, maybe Nathan won't come in with confidence, and, you know, it's an advantage to Queensland. So he's at a wind of nothing at the moment, Wayne. He's smiling. He's just fire.
Freddie, what about what he raised last night, though, and James Graham raised it earlier in the week, that you can pick forwards out of form because they can go in and as an effort position, surrounded by other quality players, you pick your effort up and off you go, you're suddenly back in form, but you can't do it with your halves. Halves is a different position, and you need to be going into the game already feeling confident.
Yeah, but you can also look at the other way, where if you're a half coming from a team where your forwards aren't having a go, then you're going to get no good footy. And if you have a look at his stats, Nathan, he had 20 runs, the most runs in the whole team. He ran for more metres than every other forward in his team bar James Tarmail. You know, he made 20-odd tackles. He missed two. One was crucial on Nikarima when he took a dummy. But, you know, he's outplaying every one of his forwards.
Mm.
So I think you can sort of take that how you like it, that the way James has looked at it, because as a half, and I was a half, if your forwards aren't absolutely ripping in, I mean, Newcastle are a great example with Mitchell Pearce and Kalyn Ponga. If your forwards aren't ripping in, then you can't do anything. And if you look at the Nathan Cleary situation, what he's trying to do is play like a forward, which isn't helping them, but taking nothing away from his character.
Hmm. So when do you guys next meet then?
Mate, we're meeting on the phone every day. Yeah, I love it. And Fitzy's involved now. Fitzy's just your footy head from heaven. So if you ever need to fix a footy, just call Fitzy. And at the moment, he's I'm loving chatting to me, good man Fitzy, because, you know, he can back it up with...
He's like Horror Hubby.
The 25 hours of video he's watched every day as well. So he's got... He's like Horror Hubby, but he's gone and done the plumbing and the electrical course, and he's the ultimate tradesman, Fitz.
Freddie, what are you anticipating from Queensland?
Well, you know, I think 2 months ago everyone's going, poor Queensland, and then I actually looked at the side on TV today when I was doing the footy show, and, mate, it's a cracking side. You know, I think they've got some, you know, like me, I'm thinking that, you know, if they pick the real right team, they're going to be very hard. And I think Maguire's fitness, Cherry Evans' fitness could be key to them. But they've got the, you know, Ponga and Munster as strike, Hunt. And then they've got all these forwards. Papali, Napa played fantastic last night. Wallace played his best game of the season. Jai Arrow was brilliant. So, you know, I just think everyone thought last year that New South Wales was just going to roll into this dominance, and I don't think they've quite looked at the Queensland team and how good it is. We have got an unbelievable challenge. The fact Brisbane's our first game, and then Perth. We had, you know, we had our best case scenario last year, which we had Melbourne leading into Sydney, where we have a great record in Melbourne. So, and this is a huge challenge for us.
What's the most dangerous thing for New South Wales as far as Queensland go? What's already starting to worry you?
I just got to get the selection right. Now, I think, like I said about the advice from Craig Bellamy, we've got to get it right. You know, obviously Nathan comes up in the conversation, and Adam Reynolds, and there's a few other halfback. Chad Townsend's been brilliant. So, you know, getting that right, we're all pretty new to this game as well from a point of view of selecting teams and coaching and, you know, just getting that right. And that's the thing that's mostly, it's not so much weighing. I'm really enjoying it. I love it, you know, just absolutely loving this whole thing. I think, just keen to get it right.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I was going to ask you. Is it harder this year because of the expectations? And last year you went in not knowing, you know, what was about. Now that you've won and you've got the title back and you know, want to do to Queensland what they did to you guys for so long?
Yeah, absolutely. And my nature's, I think, to be sort of aloof and quite free and easy. And, you know, it's like when you've won, there's a little bit more tension on there, and that's going to be the key, just to go in there with that, you know, great attitude, and, you know, that'll come off on the players. So, but I feel good, mate. I feel like there's a big chunk of our players are going awesome. I feel like every time we come together as a group, they're enjoying each other's company, which is paramount. And, you know, like I said, just looking at these last couple of decisions and getting them right.
All right, Freddie, best of luck with it, mate. I know you've got plenty of footy to watch, and there's a game kicking off in about 15 minutes, so we'll let you go, and we wish you all the best for the Origin series.
Thanks, fellas.
Good on you. There he is, the New South Wales Origin coach, Brad Fittler, known around the traps as Freddie. Speaking to Gordon Tallis.
He's Paul so Kent, relaxed, isn't he?
Hoops, maroon.
Yeah, I mean, like his cards, you know, mate, I was talking about Ivan Cleary, but it's a...
You know what?
I think that's the toughest job, mate, is to get it right, you know what I mean? And that's...
Well, that's what New South Wales did wrong for years, Gordon. They picked the wrong team for a long lot of years, and New South Wales went through a real crisis of confidence whereby they lost a couple of series and they changed things around to try and get it right, and they went so far away from the values of Origin and from what Origin meant. So they started picking non-Origin players. Then they fell. Everyone thought the solution was to pick and stick. So suddenly, with the wrong squad, they decide to stick with it. And that's why Queensland's streak went from 3 years to 4 years to 5 years and all the way through, because they were sticking with the wrong players. Thank heavens Freddie came in last year and just picked a totally new squad with a whole new idea on what was required. He indoctrinated the players straight away on what it meant to be in an Origin camp, what it meant to play in Origin. There was far too much privilege in teams before that. Yeah. They carried on like they were the big shots of the world. That some of their behaviours were terrible, were un-Origin-like, yet there was this persistence that you don't know Origin, we do, say nothing.
Yeah, but the danger is the guys that were on top of the table, the guys that made all the decisions, were Penrith last year. Mm. And look where they are this year.
That is a danger, but I don't think Freddie is going to be caught in this trap of saying, you know what, they did the job for us last year, so we'll pick them this year. I don't think he'll do that. I think he'll say, one of the things in Hoops, you brought it up on 360 on Wednesday night, which is one of the more intelligent things anyone said about Origin, is that last year when Freddie was picking his team, he said, first things first, you've got to be doing the right thing by your club.
Yeah, I love that. So you've got to be signing.
And he takes everything into account as well. It's not just your form on the field. It's how you're carrying yourself off the field. It's down to how you perform when you're interviewed and ask questions in the media. I love the way that Freddie has factored all of this into trying to select the best 17 players for the state. And Gordy, you were lucky enough, you played with Freddie a lot for Australia, right?
Yeah.
Was he how does he go from being so relaxed and laid back when you're just having the unlock? We were then, but then once he crosses that line,
he's just got two switches, and not too many footy players have it the way he had it. And I remember playing against Brad. Well, I remember watching Brad Fittler when I was a kid, and he played for – and I just remember him jumping over the defenders and making a big run, and it was the ABC game that was replayed on the Sunday morning before we were going down to the Townsville Sports Reserve to watch our club play first grade. And I just remember watching this kid coming on, and then, you know, in the rugby league week he's got a, you know, school uniform on. So that's when I first saw Freddie. Then to play against him – you know, he just had all this natural ability. Then the first time I ever played with him in the Australian side, I thought, oh, well, Brad Fittler, you know. And there's a bit of aura, you know, like about all the great players, and you still want to learn from him and know. He walked in a sarong, out of his room in a sarong. So there's this player that I've like gone, you know, this, and he's walked out, hey, dude, what's happening, man? Yeah, what's happening?
Yeah, boys.
Yeah, just had a massage. And I'm like, wow. Yeah, because you think he's going to be this whole intense. So he's got two buttons. So when he's here, but But when it comes down to walking on the footy field, when it comes down, it was so wrong, all right. It was so wrong, it was right.
Gordy, tell us, Paul Kent, Hoops Maroon. Well, we've had a lot of emails today about the Origin side. We've spoken to one coach. We'll speak to another one very shortly. But believe it or not, Hoops, we've had more emails today about Paul Kent's possum problem, with the possum in the roof.
Oh,
so what we might do is
is it a brush tail?
We'll take a break. We'll find out.
I don't know.
Could even be an opossum, which is another type of possum. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get possum update with Kenty as Triple M rocks the footy.
For McDonald's, this is Triple M footy. For McDonald's, Triple M footy.
10 minutes away from kickoff between Newcastle and the Dragons in the beautiful township of Mudgee, host of the annual Clock Business Awards. But, of course, today it's home to the Rugby League at Glen Willow Oval. Oh. And before we go any further, well, we've got 4 minutes here. Paul, I cannot tell you the correspondence we have had about your possum, which is loose in your roof.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I feel a bit like Gordon, actually, like I've got a newborn child because it keeps me – I can't catch it. He's too smart, and he's been in the trap. He somehow got out of the trap, which I now think maybe the little lock thing that locks the gate when it falls didn't work. So I fixed that up, and then the other night I had some apple and peanut butter in there, and then I tied it all down for this bloody possum, but there was a little bit of apple left over, so I just tossed it in there. I thought, oh, just a bit more. And he's got in there again, and that's the one bit of food he's taken that wasn't tied down. And secondly, that he got it without setting it off the trap again, so he's been able to get it back out the door. But every night I can hear him in my roof. It's driving me mental.
Mm.
Well, I didn't realise that possums like peanut butter. Is it smooth or crunchy?
Apparently. No, it's smooth.
It's smooth.
I'm going to go down. I've heard marshmallows, so I'm going to go down and buy some marshmallow, and I've heard dog food.
Are you sure your trap works? Because it sounds to me as though there might be some issues with your trap.
It's a proper
well, where'd you get the
so
trap from?
So how do you know the difference between a proper one?
Who got it from a person who stole it from Kennards.
Ah, from Kennards.
That could be your problem.
I don't know
if this trap's 100%.
No, it's nothing wrong with the trap.
Maroon, have you got some facts about possums over there? What did you just look up before?
We got an email in here from Dennis of, because this is a pretty a leafy area. Dennis of Warunga says, possums are territorial, which is why you can't catch him, and will urinate on their area and rub oil from glands on their chest, chin and anus to mark it as theirs. So then they generally shy and not aggressive and will often stare at each other with erect ears to defend their territory.
Well, this is why you brought it up, just so you can say all those words and just giggle to yourself.
Look at him, look at him. He's so happy with
you. That's why you brought it up.
No.
I've got a newborn child. I can't sleep. Every 2 hours I'm waking up because I hear the bloody thing.
See, Paul, I have problems with real big pythons. So I live back on bush.
Maybe you can put your python in my roof.
In my bag, bring it down, and you can take it home.
At least some problem solved. One of us will be without a problem after it. I don't know which way it'll go.
But like I had someone come around and pick up like a big python at the back. I walked around and I squealed like Ned Flanders, I'm petrified of snakes. And a lady come and took it, and they got to release it in the same catchment area. So it was back within 3 weeks. And it was bigger. I reckon it ate a cat on the way back.
Look, at least when I mean,
a possum. I think
it's the same thing with possums, isn't it? If you go and release them 20 kilometres away, they find their way back.
No, but there's a trick to it.
Yeah, what is it?
The trick is you've got to take them over water. They don't swim.
Right.
So you've got to take it over a bridge.
Put on the Manly ferry.
I've got water, but he's a clever little bugger.
Yeah.
And some nights, I had the best night's sleep I had all week was because every day I've got to get up and check the roof to see if he's in the trap. And because of where I've got it, I put the trap where I hear him. So I've got to put it there.
You still got my ladder.
And I've got to crawl. I've still got your ladder, yeah. I've got to crawl through the roof to get to where the trap is just to see if he's in there or not.
Don't pretend you've got to crawl. You just walk.
Oh, here we go. Everyone's pulling out their big gags for this one. Right? Maroon's with his cheeky words.
Anyway, Paul, we'll get an update next week with the possum.
Possum gate. Yeah.
Because it's been bigger than the election coverage today.
Oh, absolutely. It's got him rattled, the poor bugger.
We've got to say goodbye to you here, Paul.
Got to.
We'll catch you on NRL 360 through the week.
See you, possum.
You take off. Ryan Girdler steps in. We still haven't done I call BS. Hoops, you are a target today for that. We're going to talk about the Dragons. They've lost their last three. They need to win today against the Knights, who won their last three. And then Manly and Sharkies, two of the big achievers of 2019. They take the field at 4 o'clock today. It's all on the way, so make sure you catch up with us. I'll tell you more about how you can catch up with us via the podcast shortly as Triple M rocks the footy.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M Footy.